believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, and was drafted as a center fielder by the Chicago Cubs in 2017 in the 19th round of the Major League Baseball draft. On June 17, 2015, his mom was murdered, along with 8 other people, during a Bible study in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. ESPN featured his story on an E60 documentary. He's the author of Love Your Neighbor, and today he spends the majority of his time as a nationally renowned inspirational speaker. His name? Chris Singleton. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Chris Singleton, the author of Love Your Neighbor. Chris, as we open, could you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, thank you for another day, God. We just thank you for blessing us with all the things that you have, God. We ask that we would be able to steward those blessings the way that you see fit. God, over the next hour or so, as we get to talk and we open up, we pray that you would bless this time, that people would hear you when they hear us. So, God, we're just thankful and we're grateful for the opportunity to speak to one another and to grow as men, as human beings, and we just give you all the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're talking to Chris Singleton. Chris, you've lived your life in Charleston, South Carolina, a.k.a. the Holy City, because of all of the church domes, the Battery, the City Market, the Port of Charleston. What makes Charleston so special?
Charleston's a beautiful city. Obviously, there's a lot of history there, some good, some bad. But what we don't do is we don't hide from, our history in Charleston. You know, we talk about how at one point, I believe 60 or 70% of all slaves came through through Charleston. We have the African American Museum there. We have baseball teams there. We have a community that is growing like every other city, right? But we're thriving. And it's a bigger city, but still a small town feel. And I love it because, after everything I've gone through, people have always wrapped their arms around me, and it's like family. Charleston's home.
All right. Speaking of home, let's go back, talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Yeah, both my mom and my dad were college athletes. My dad actually is from Charleston, South Carolina, and got a scholarship to play at Tennessee State, play football there. 6'2", 6'3". 210 pounds, but he ran like a 4.3, 4.4 40, super fast, right? Played safety, and then he transferred to South Carolina State. Ended up stopped playing there, but he met my mom there, right? And my mom, from Newark, New Jersey, was a track athlete and got a full scholarship to come down south to run at South Carolina State. And after college, they got married and had this little dude named Chris Singleton, and that's me, right? My dad was also Chris, and my son's name is Chris as well. So, that's my parents. We grew up in Atlanta before we moved to Charleston. When I was really young, we moved to Charleston. And, we moved back to my dad's home. And very lucky to have two parents that were, college educated and read to me at night as a kid. And we're solid, just good people. So that's my folks.
What's the biggest thing you learned, Chris, from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Wow, I guess from my mom, I'd say being a kind spirit, right, leads to not just being a good human and kind-hearted is not just good on the surface, but it leads to greater opportunities. When you're around people that are inviting and you want to be around them, like you want to keep them around. And I think my friend John Gordon puts it as like the saying, you don't want to be an energy vampire, right? So my mom was always filling the room with happiness and joy. As far as my dad taught me work ethic, right? My dad was my basketball coach in middle school, and he taught me, hey, nothing's going to be handed to you. You got to go out there and work hard and go get it. And I'm grateful that they instilled those things into me, and it led me to be the man that I am today.
All right. You played for a couple years in the Cubs, Chicago Cubs minor league system. Your dad, football, your mom, track. Where did you get your love for baseball?
It's a funny story, man. I played a lot of sports growing up, played baseball, basketball, football. I even think I did gymnastics when I was like 4 or 5, right? But what stuck was baseball because I had a best friend. My best friend at the time, TJ Card, you know, we both were on the same baseball team. And all of a sudden, this travel sports thing started happening, and travel baseball is the one that we chose. And I fell in love with it, man. I fell in love with watching guys like, you know, Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. And, you know, I wanted to be like this guy, Andrew McCutchen, right? That's what I wanted to be like growing up. And so, yeah, baseball just stuck. And by the time I got to middle school, I realized I was pretty good at it. So if I want to play college sports one day, that'd probably be my best pick.
You played 2 years in the Cubs minor league system in Eugene, Oregon, South Bend. As you watch the Shohei Ohtani play today, Chris, how good is he?
I think he's a 1-in-100-year player, right? He is not only a great pitcher, but, I mean, guy can hit, you know, 50 home runs a year, and he can steal 50 bases a year, you know? So, I mean, he's just unbelievable. His speed, his power, his pitching skill, I mean, yeah, I'm glad, you know, that I don't have to face him every single day of the job. I'll put it that way.
All right. We're talking to Chris Singleton. When we come back, we're going to go back to June 17th, 2015. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula with Chris Singleton, who today spends the majority of his time as a nationally renowned international speaker. Chris, you're 18 years old. Let's go back. June 17th, 2015. Take us back to that night, please.
Absolutely. Well, that night, at 18 years old, I had a summer league baseball game after my freshman season. I got done with my game, and I came home like I would any other day and dropped my bag off outside, took my cleats off, all that good stuff. And you know, I remember coming inside and seeing my little brother and sister in the home, and I got a call from my mom on my phone. And I answered the phone like I would any other day, but the lady wasn't my mom on the other end, and she basically was saying, Chris, you got to get down to the church because something terrible happened. And so I rushed down to my church. And when I got down there, you know, I saw police cars, I saw ambulances, I saw, you know, caution tape everywhere. And I realized that, you know, something traumatic had happened. I didn't know what, but I knew that something big had happened. And there's an officer that led me to where I was supposed to be, a nearby hotel where family members were placed. And at that hotel, the lady that called me from my mom's phone was a member at my church and said, hey, Chris, your mom got shot, is what she told me. And, you know, come to find out later on, she was a survivor of that evening, but, she wasn't really supposed to tell me that, but she did. She was scared, she was nervous, and she didn't know who to tell and who to talk to. But that evening, I found out that I lost my hero, my mom. And I found out later that my mom was a victim of gun violence and, you know, shot multiple times during Bible study. And the reasoning behind this, you know, horrific act was there was a young man who was a self-proclaimed white supremacist who targeted our historically black church and took 9 lives. And his goal was that maybe people can hate each other so much we can start a war in our country. And, you know, that was that night that was not only traumatic for me, that will be traumatic forever, but a night that I now think about and I think that my kids won't be able to see, you know, their grandmother because of that evening.
Your mom's name was Sharonda Coleman Singleton. You had a little brother, Caleb, or you have, and a little sister, Cameron. You had to tell them, Chris. You're 18 years old.
Yeah. At that moment, you know, you have to grow up quick. And at 18, I felt like I was 30 or 40 with the responsibilities that were kind of thrown on me. And I'm so grateful that my brother and sister have grown up to be, you know, phenomenal young man and young woman.
But at that moment, man, I didn't know what to do, what to say, how to say it. But that was the responsibility that I had. And when you grow up quickly like I did, or, you know, you lose your parents, or, you lose somebody that your caregiver, you know, you have to grow up in a way that you now make decisions as a head of household. Even it doesn't matter if you're 18, 24, or 34, right? It happens, and you have to grow up quickly, and I did that evening for sure.
All right. The sick person that did it actually killed 9 people that night. And the next day, as an 18-year-old kid, you forgive this young man publicly. Chris.
Yeah.
Why and how?
You know, I'll answer the how first. The how is, I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit led me to forgive, because there was no preconceived thoughts. There was nothing written. There was none of that. And when this reporter from the BBC News came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, what do you think about your mother's killer?" And at 18, I had no media training. I was just literally grieving my mom. And the words came out, you know, "We already forgive him." And when I think back on it and I say "we," it's like, who is we? Because at that moment, I didn't know that other people from our church would forgive the next day at the court hearing. Like, I didn't know that. That's why I know that for a fact that there was something out of this world. And I believe the Holy Spirit placed that on my heart. And that's how it happened. Now, why? I think this is so important, because I've learned that forgiveness for me has allowed me to not need a sorry for my mother's killer. It has not allowed me to need an apology, because I've never gotten one. And it freed me from needing certain things for closure in my own life. And forgiveness has done that. And I think it was only through the Holy Spirit that happened. Because at 18, if you'd told me that before, I would have said there's no way in the world that I would ever do that, because my mom is my hero. And so when it happened, I knew that it wasn't just me sharing those words, but it was what I believe is the Holy Spirit that was sharing that through me. And, you know, I've learned that forgiveness is a superpower. And to this day, I still feel the same way.
All right. The pastor is Anthony Thompson. He lost his wife that night, and 2 days later in the hearing, he forgave this young man publicly, and I believe families from all 9 of the victims forgave. You guys kept that city together. A week ago, Chris, independent of which side of the fence you're on, was the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, and his widow, 35 years old, got up and forgave the killer. When you watched that, what did you think?
Yeah, it brought me back to when I forgave my mother's killer, right? I think that's the Holy Spirit, you know, to forgive somebody who just caused you immense pain. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, to quote you, like, when you hear somebody forgiving the person that took their loved one away, that's powerful. And, you know, I felt that, and it just brought me back to my own experience. And so, I applaud her for doing that. The strength that it takes to forgive is far greater than the strength that it takes to hold a grudge, or the strength that it takes to want to get back at somebody. And so I'm just in awe that the Holy Spirit is still moving. And, you know, things like that aren't possible without an immense faith. And so I was moved for sure.
All right. I quote you, Chris. "Love is always stronger than hate." Really?
Yeah, you know, when you think about how we make change, you can never make change causing division, right? You can never bring people together by using words of vitriol and hatred, right? That doesn't work. You know, even as a person who's a believer, I can't go to somebody that's not a believer and bash the Bible over their head until they say, "Oh, you know what? Now I believe in Jesus." That's not the way that it works. If you want to make change, you love people. You go to where they are. Like, I was reading the Bible this morning, and Paul, when Paul was writing in Corinthians, how, you know, he was going to everyone. If the person or the group that he was trying to get to follow Jesus and believe in Jesus was, you know, people that were weak, he would be weak. If they were, you know, people that follow the law, then he would follow the law with them. If they were people that didn't follow the law, he wouldn't, you know, he would just follow Christ's law. And so, like, he's literally loving people where they are to get them to believe. And so, As I think about the words love is stronger than hate, I finish that with saying, if we just love the way my mom would, the hate won't be anywhere close to where love is. And so my mom was a testament of what true, genuine love for people looks like in our world. And I try to lead by example when I, show that in my life.
We're talking to Chris Singleton. If you want to learn more, www.chrissingleton.com. 28 years old, this man is an old soul in a young man's body. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Chris Singleton. He was drafted as a center fielder by the Chicago Cubs in 2017 in the 19th round of the Major League Baseball draft. You had played for 3 years at Charleston Southern University, center field. How was it you got drafted?
Yeah, man, I feel like, I came in as a freshman and started, every game as a freshman and at a mid-major Division I school and did okay that year. My sophomore year is really my breakout year where, I hit really well. I stole a couple bases here and there. I played a great center field. And that kind of got me on the radar, right? And so that sophomore summer, I played in a wood bat league where I got to actually play against this team called the Savannah Bananas that everybody knows about, right? And so I played against them. Was an all-star in that wood bat league and, got to some scouts to come, to look at me and all that good stuff. And then junior year didn't go as planned, unfortunately. My father passed away, and, I kind of was putting a lot of pressure on myself to be, trying to be hit a home run every single at bat. But the second half of the season was phenomenal for me, and I was so grateful that I did enough to get drafted in the 19th round. Stole some bases like I always did and played a great center field and hit a couple home runs here and there and did enough to get my name called. I was grateful that the Cubs did it too. They're an amazing organization. In my humble opinion, I'd say they're second to none as far as the way they treat their minor leaguers from top to bottom. And so, I had fun. I had a lot of fun. And when you have fun and you play well, that's how you can get drafted for sure.
Okay, you played two seasons. The first season, Eugene, Oregon, Oregon University, the town of Nike. What was that experience like?
I'd say the coolest, it was a little bit different because I played rookie ball in Arizona, and I, came out the gate swinging it well, hit a home run. I think I hit like 300 in that league. And then I got up to Eugene, Oregon, and it was like, man, it was my first time moving somewhere to play immediately, right? And it was different. And I think I struggled a little bit early on, like, man, just trying to figure out, hey, where am I going to even live? Like, I think we were living at the hotel. But we were playing at Oregon's field, which was amazing. Our GM at the time, his name was Allen. Phenomenal man, phenomenal GM. And so it was definitely different because you really have to be a professional for the first time. But I had fun, man. I mean, we played in Vancouver. My first time going to Canada was with that team. Like you mentioned, Oregon was, we literally played at University of Oregon's field, which is awesome. And then I found really great Mexican food in Eugene, Oregon, which I did not think I'd find out there. But it was a blast for sure.
All right. Second season, you go to this town, South Bend, Indiana, the Golden Dome. What was that like?
That experience was very memorable because I lived at a retirement community. So, Jack, imagine this. Imagine a 21-year-old coming into St. Paul's retirement community where the average age is maybe 85 years young, right? And I'm living in this retirement community. And I was grateful that I got the community award for the team because of my work there and volunteering in different places. And I had a great time, living there and playing in South Bend.
When you were in a slump and you came to the retirement home, did you have 85-year-old grandmothers telling you what you had to change and what you were doing wrong, Chris?
It's funny you asked that because I had a guy named Jerry who would come knock on my door and try to tell me how to do my job as a professional athlete, right? And three or four times he would just say, Chris, you got to use your speed, man. You know, you got to stop striking out. And I would say, you know what, Jerry, you can't steal first base, man. I got to hit my way there. And then I might be able to use a little speed, right? But we had great talks, man. And thinking about, like, where they were in their lives, they had no more filter. Like, they just spoke their mind, didn't care, right? If I had a game where I struck out three times, oh, they would let me know about it for sure. But I loved living there, and they were like my grandparents. So it was a great time living in South Bend.
We're talking to Chris Singleton. If you want to learn more, www.chrissingleton.com. When he was 18 years old, June 17th, 2015, his mom was murdered, along with eight other people, during a Bible study in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. I quote you again, Chris. My faith was strengthened when my mom was murdered. Many people have had something awful happen to them, and they hate God. They want no peace of God. You say your faith was strengthened through this. How?
That's a great question. I think it's because for the first time in my life, I knew I had nobody else, and I needed to draw strength from somewhere. And there's two ways you can go when your mom is killed in church. You can say, there's no way God is real. If God was real, this wouldn't happen. Or you can say, God, I don't know how this happened or why it happened. I know you gave us the gift of free will, but I cannot get through this pain without you. And I went with the latter. And I believe as a human being, I've been strengthened because of finally having my own faith walk and my own journey and reading my Bible by myself and praying by myself. And I wasn't doing those things beforehand. It was, you know, going to church and praying when my pastor said to pray. Or, you know, my mom, who was an ordained minister, would always tell me this scripture or that scripture. So I'm listening, but, you know, part of it's in one ear and out the other ear. And then finally, for the first time, I said, let me dive into my own faith because I need it right now. I have nowhere else to go. And in people, a lot of times, rock bottom will look for something. Some people look for drugs. Some people look for alcohol. And some people like myself look for a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I look for that and I found that. And that's why I say my faith was strengthened after I lost my mom, because I could no longer just rely on somebody else. It was, hey, I need to figure out how I can be the man that I'm called to be. And the perfect blueprint for that is what I like to call the best sold book of all time, and that's the Bible.
All right, we're talking to Chris Singleton. Our own Mitch Elbaum puts it this way. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself. Chris, speaking of the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, the 55 most recited words in the history of the world, the Our Father. When we said, Rabbi, teacher, how do we praise? How do we pray? He gave us the Our Father. And he famously said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, Chris. What does that Our Father say to you?
That lets us know, you know, if we want to be forgiven, then we must forgive. You know, I feel like the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? We want to love people regardless of where they're from, what they look like. You know, we're loving because we expect that love and we get that love from our Lord and Savior. So sometimes when I'm praying or when I'm reading my Bible, I like to just reiterate the words that are in there and say, God, Lord, this is what you say here, right? So if this is what you say, this must be true, and I must hold this to be fact and truth. And in those words, right, we must forgive those who trespass against us because we are forgiven. So I think when I listen to that or when I read my Bible and I see words like that, it just reiterates the fact that, hey, God's not asking us to do anything that he won't do for us.
Friends, let's remember, Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13 is the 55 words, the Our Father. Chris, then verse 14, the next verse, says, if you forget other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's the only, all the things that he says in the Our Father, that's the only one he repeats, Chris.
Yeah, and I feel like it's so important because, you know, we're human beings. We're not perfect. you know, we're not going to be perfect in this life. And so when we wrong others, right, whether it's a boss, whether it's just, you know, significant other in the past, or whether it's, you know, saying something to your kid you shouldn't, right, or whatever it may be, like, we're not perfect. And because we're flawed and we're sinful, right, we're going to need forgiveness. We're going to need that from other people. And if we need it from other people, we need to do that for other people. And like we said earlier, man, God's asking us to do that because he's doing it for us. And so, yeah, I think that's powerful. Forgiveness is definitely what I like to call a superpower, because it just allows you to move forward in your life. You don't stay there and harbor hatred and harbor, you know, get back at this plan, or, you know, you're able to move forward. You know, you can't move on from certain things, but you can move forward in your life. And that's what forgiveness does for you.
We're talking to Chris Singleton, 28 years old, spends the majority of his time as a nationally renowned inspirational speaker. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Chris Singleton. He's been featured in E60. He's the author of Love Your Neighbor. Chris, there's a listener that says, "Chris, you don't understand. You didn't live with my ex, my old man, my dad, my one kid has embarrassed the family, my ex-business partner. He's ruined me financially for life. I can't forgive." What do you tell that person?
I always say you have to figure out what's on the other side of forgiveness for you. So if my ex-business partner took our money and made it his money or her money, and now I'm thinking I can't forgive because, you know, they took all the finances that I ever had. You know, if I keep harboring this feeling towards that person, I'll never trust anybody ever again, right? And so what on the other side of forgiveness may be is a new successful business partner, and you won't have one of those if you don't forgive the last person. Now, you don't forgive and make the same mistake again, right? You know, for instance, I don't forgive and say, hey, because I've been wrong. No, you learn from certain things. And so if I'm learning, I know, man, maybe my next business partner that I have, you know, I will do this and this, and I'll have this documentation or whatever it may be, but I won't have another business partner if I don't forgive the first person and move forward in my life. And so there's got to be something on the other side of forgiveness. For me, forgiveness allows me to not hate or not be scared of young white males, you know, because if my mom was killed by a 21-year-old young white supremacist. And so, you know, if I don't forgive, I'm going to be thinking about every young 21-year-old white male the same way. Well, that's not the case. That's not true. And so you have to figure out what is on the other side of forgiveness. Now, if you say, well, Chris, I feel like there's nothing on the other side of it for me, then I think there internally you need to say, okay, well, there's still some things I need to work through in my own life and goals and ambitions and, you know, whatever it may be that can lead you forward in your life to figure out what could be on the other side. But if you're saying there's nothing for me there, then I think that that is okay. Everybody has their own grief journey, right? They have their own grief journey. And over time, you know, time is the ultimate healer. And over time, I feel like you'll say, you know what, now I feel like I'm in a place where I can talk about forgiveness. And it won't be easy, but it will be worth it.
All right, there's a listener that says, my issue is I did something awful. I can't forgive myself. I'm held hostage to this awful thing I did. What do you say to that person?
Yeah, well, I say we have to give ourselves grace. You know, I feel the same way in certain times. When I look back on my life, it's like, man, I wish I would have done this different. I wish I would have done that different. Well, you don't know what you don't know at the time. And so giving yourself grace is important, right? There's no perfect human being on this earth, and the one that was killed, right? So I feel like if we know that we're not perfect, when we mess up, it's not about saying, man, I hate myself for this. I hate myself. No, it's like, hey, I did this. I'm going to be a man or a woman, and for lack of better words, I'm going to man up and say, own this. I'm going to own what I have done, but I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to stay in that moment. I feel like when we put ourselves in a box and we stay there, that's where no growth happens, and that's where, you know, we start self-medicating with things that we shouldn't.
You're the author of Love Your Neighbor. What's the basic message you want us to take away from that book?
Yeah, so this is a children's book, man. I've written it for parents to read to their kids, or it's written on second grade reading level. So if you got a kid like my little guy that's in second grade, he can read it himself. But I'll put it this way. My favorite part of the book, it says, you know, should I love everybody? What if my neighbor doesn't look like me? What if their hair is darker or lighter? What if their skin is looser or tighter? You know, what if their skin is wrinkled or rough? And it ends with saying, hey, why should it matter? Love is enough. And so whether it's a kid that's in a wheelchair, whether it's a kid that has a different ability, like I have a friend, Zach, who's cerebral palsy, but an amazing human being, like no matter what makes us different, loving everybody is what we're called to do. And so that's what I feel like the book is about. And it teaches kids, hey, you know, no, it doesn't matter if a kid has different skin color, different hair, they wear different sneakers, they have a different first language, right? We're loving everybody. We're celebrating every single human being. And that's what that book is all about.
We're talking to Chris Singleton, www.chrissingleton.com. John chapter 15, verse 12. Love one another as I have loved you. Chris, watching you, reading about you, you, 28 years old, you try to live this way every day. And that's tall cotton. How do you do it?
Yeah, well, I feel like when I have this, when I promise myself this mission of, hey, I don't know if I can ever end racism, right? Because that's a tall task. But what I can try to do is stop one person from doing something terrible to another based on the color of their skin or their first language, right? So for me, in my mind, if we're called to love people, it means sometimes we have to love them from a distance. You know, maybe you don't agree with what somebody says, or maybe their political opinion or whatever it is, but there's usually a reason, there's a story behind why they think that way. And for instance, I'll give you a prime example in my life that I share frequently. You know, I'm not a huge fan of guns because my mom was shot multiple times during Bible study while she was praying, right? And so when people hear my story, they can understand why a guy like me gets uncomfortable around guns. And so it doesn't mean that you have to agree with my stance or my opinion, but you can understand my story and say, you know what, I still love you, Chris, even if I think a little bit differently. And I feel like when we're called to love, people just think, oh, well, I have to change my mind about every single thing. No, that's not the case. Loving somebody and saying, you know what, maybe we can agree to disagree in a respectful manner. And that's love too. And that's what I want to make sure that people understand with this mission of beauty that I have. I know there's some things morally that you say, man, I cannot change who I am, Chris. I can't change my experiences. And I'm not asking you to. All I'm asking you to recognize is that other people have had different experiences just as well. And when we know this, that's when I feel like we can live out that truth written in the good book, and it's telling us to love our neighbor and love one another. So that hopefully that answers that question.
We're talking to Chris Singleton. He's been featured by ESPN on an E60 documentary, and he spends the majority of his time when he's not with his family as a nationally renowned inspirational speaker. When you speak to young people, Chris, what do kids today want and need to hear?
Yeah, well, I feel like every kid wants to fit in. They want to be cool around their peers. What I think they need to know that it's okay to put our phones down for a little bit and be present, right? They need to know that, hey, the words that you share online have real meaning behind them, and people are on another side of the screen. They need to know that that they're beautifully and wonderfully made, right? They need to know that even though something may be hard right now, it won't be hard forever. They need to know how important their lives are, right? There's so many things that they need to know and need to hear that I try to share. And so every year, you know, I speak to 50,000 students across the country, and I speak to probably 50 organizations and companies just as well. But when I'm sharing this message of love and unity, you have to start with yourself, right? Because if you respect who you are as a person, you respect your own experiences, you respect your own life, then you can respect somebody else's. But if we're not respecting or having self-love for who we are as people, then it's easy for us to talk bad about somebody else because we're just projecting that and not doing the internal work that we need. So young people in middle school, high school, even when I'm speaking to little kids in elementary schools reading my books, I feel like they need to know that they are beautifully and wonderfully made. Every single one of them is amazing, no matter what makes them different, whether it's their glasses, whether they have a lazy eye, whether they have, you know, a kid recently with six fingers, like whatever it is. Hey, man, you're still awesome, dude. You're still awesome. And they need to know that, hey, the stuff that we share, the words that we share, they're powerful. And so use those words wisely. That's what they need to hear.
One of Chris Singleton's heroes is Jackie Robinson, who once said, "A life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives." Chris, that's how you live every day. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.